fact that there's giants in the land. They say there are giants in the land, but then they say we are well able to take them. Now, this is sort of an aside, but what we need to recognize is that faith doesn't deny reality. Faith does not deny reality. It simply points to the greater reality that is found in God. Right? It's not faith to go to the doctor and be told that you have some sort of disease and say, well, I don't have that disease. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. But what is faith is to go to the doctor, be told you have some sort of disease and say, well, I may have that, but God is greater than any disease. Amen. Right? Faith doesn't deny reality. It simply recognizes that there's a greater reality. See, faith isn't living in ignorance. Faith is living in the promises of God. When you're living in faith, you simply live in the promises that God has for us. You don't ignore the challenges. You don't ignore the hardships. You don't ignore the setbacks. But you simply recognize that there's something greater in God. Now, unfortunately, in what we saw, we know that the people of Israel, they chose to side with the 10. And they say, you know what? You guys are right. There's no way we can do this. And they don't enter into God's promises. And so they decide, well, we're not going to go in there. And God says, cool, you can have your way. Go wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Sometimes God gives you what you ask for. And so that generation goes and they wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the adults who are part of that generation all die off. They missed the promises of God. They missed their inheritance because they didn't have faith. They didn't have faith. See, there's things that people miss out on because they don't walk in faith. I believe the church has missed out on so many promises of the Bible and the Word of God because we haven't walked in faith. We haven't walked them out. So you can live your life standing on the border of the promised land and God's promises for your life and yet never receive a single one of them because you allow fear to keep you back from stepping into what He has for you. So in this story, we see that the faithless generation, they die wandering in the wilderness. It's a tragic thing. They all die off, the entire adult generation. And so that brings us to what we read today. And so once again, for the second time, the Israelites are on the east side of the Jordan, looking across at the promised land that's before them. They're ready to cross over and take possession of it. And then one day, what we read, the tribe of Reuben and Gad, and you later learn also half the tribe of Manasseh, they come to Moses and they say, Moses, that promised land over there, that's cool and all, but we have large flocks, we have herds, this land is perfect. We just want to have our inheritance on this side. We want to live here. Now, understanding the background to this, and that's why we talked about the background, you understand why Moses goes into a tizzy and just unloads on them, right? He calls them a brood of sinners. Right? He absolutely unloads on them. See, Moses thinks that they're making the same mistake that the previous generation did. He thinks they're falling into that same trap. He recounts everything that happened to them. He believes they're making that exact same mistake. Now, thankfully, once Moses calms down a little bit, got his blood pressure down, they come and they clear up the situation and they say, well, we're not abandoning our fellow Israelites. We're going to send our men with them to fight until they receive their inheritance. And so Moses agrees to this. If you would read Joshua 4:12, it says, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle, in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. And so here we see that they fulfill their promise to Moses, and they don't just go fight with the fellow Israelites. It says that they led them into battle. Now, there's so much you can pull from these verses, but here's where I want to start today. This is where we're starting from. We are all in this together. We are all in this together. Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. See, Moses grasped how interconnected the people of God are. Moses told those 2.5 tribes that though they were receiving their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan, they were still called to come alongside those other tribes until they also received theirs. In other words, Moses was saying, there's no way you guys are going to sit there and eat bonbons, relaxing in your inheritance while your brothers and sisters cross over and are fighting and battling to receive theirs. And here's the thing. I believe God is calling us as His body, as His church, to this same principle today. This exact same principle today. See, there's some of you that are in this room today and who in many ways you are walking in your godly inheritance. You are walking in the plans and purposes that God has for your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't get me wrong. You know me well enough to know that I believe there is always more in our walk with God. There is always more for us. We serve an infinite God. If you ever think you've arrived in your Christian life, that is a dangerous place to be. Because God always has something else for us. His desire, as it says in Corinthians, is to take us from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, all the way up until we reach heavenly glory. Ever increasing glory is God's desire for your life. So there is always more in your life. However, for some of you, and it may be that you're older, it may not be, but for some of you, you know where God has called you. You are walking in his promises for your life. You've been making an impact for his kingdom. You are receiving God's inheritance in your life. My message for you today is the same as Moses' message to those 2.5 tribes many years ago. Don't rest in your inheritance while there are so many others who've yet to taste of theirs. Don't just rest in your inheritance while there are so many others who have not yet tasted theirs. See, for those of you that are walking with God and you've been walking with him for a long time, and he's brought you into his plans and purposes, and you're in tune with him and you're doing what he called you to do, you're walking in your inheritance, it's now time for you to turn around and find somebody else that you can come alongside and help bring them into theirs. This is one of the greatest needs of our hour, for the church to come alongside people, to come alongside of people, bring them under our wing, to walk with them and raise them up so that they can walk in the destiny that God has for them. And this isn't for just inside the church, right? I think we should be doing this inside the church. It should be very natural for us, but it should extend to the world that we live in. See, the solution to the fatherlessness and the motherlessness and the broken family epidemic in this nation is for the church to step up and be fathers and mothers to the fatherless and the motherless. That is the solution to the epidemic that we face in this nation, is for us as God's people to rise up and come alongside people. People who may not have a mother, they may not have a father. They may have an estranged father. They may have never known their father. It's our calling to come alongside of them and to help bring them into what God has for them. See, this is a calling out to us. We need to be spiritual fathers and mothers. We need spiritual fathers and mothers in the church to step up and fulfill this calling like no other time in the history of the church. We need spiritual fathers and mothers. See, this idea was ingrained in the life of the early church. You can look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And in the life of the Apostle Paul, you see that he most likely was never married. Right now, there's some scholars, they believe the Apostle Paul was probably married. He may have been, you know, widowed or something like that. We know that when he wrote the book of Corinthians, he wasn't married because he said he wasn't. So he may have been married, he may not have been, but he wasn't married when he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. But here's the thing, Paul never mentions any biological children. And yet I would propose to you that Paul was very much a father. Paul never once mentions that he had any sort of biological children, and yet Paul was a great, great father. He was a great father. He was a spiritual father. He understood the importance of this. Let me run through some verses with you. 1 Corinthians 4:15. He says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Two verses later in verse 17, he says, for this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love. If you would read 1 and 2 Timothy, you would see that he calls Timothy his true son. He calls Timothy his dear son. In Titus 1:4, the Apostle Paul, he says, to Titus, my true son in our common faith. Philemon 1:10, Paul says that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Now, this wasn't just the Apostle Paul. The Apostle John, he says in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Even the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5:13, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. But this is also cool. See what Paul writes in Romans here, Romans 16:13. He says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. See, in none of these instances, not a single one, was there a biological parent-child relationship. Not a single one of these were they talking about a biological child when they referred to someone as their son or when they referred to her mother, to the mother. None of these things were a biological relationship. They were all spiritual sons, spiritual daughters, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. See, this is an awesome truth because even if you don't ever have any biological children, you can still be a father and a mother to somebody in the spiritual sense and have an impact in their lives. So let me address something real quick here before we go on. I know some of you, you're a little bit older, and you may remember something in the church called the shepherding movement. Anybody old enough remember that? Some of you remember that. So for those that remember that, or those who may have actually been through that, I want you to recognize that this is not the same thing. This is not the same thing. There was a lot of things that went wrong with that movement. See, corruption was introduced into that movement in that the shepherds started getting into it for their benefit when it really should have been the other way around. It should have been the other way around. See, like our parallel in Numbers, this is to bring the flock into their inheritance. This was never for a shepherd to further theirs. See, what we're looking for today is spiritual fathers and mothers who will rise up, not for their benefit, but for the benefit of those that they come alongside. We're not looking for spiritual fathers and mothers to rise up so that they can feel important or feel like I have influence or anything along those lines. We're looking for spiritual fathers and mothers who will rise up, who will lay down their lives and give their lives for the benefit of the spiritual children that come alongside of them. We're looking for spiritual fathers and mothers to lead the next generation to their breakthrough. Fathers and mothers, what do we know about them? We know that they want what is best for their kids, at least a good father and a good mother. They rejoice with their kids when they win. They mourn with them when they lose. Now stay with me. Don't misunderstand me when I say this. See, while we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, what we need less of in the church today is the sibling rivalry mentality. There's too much of that in the church today. This sort of sibling rivalry where I don't want you to get blessed because if you get blessed, then I don't know if there's enough blessing left for me. There's so much sibling rivalry in the church today, and there's not enough fathers and mothers who rise up and rejoice when somebody gets a blessing. There's too much rivalry in the church today. See, there's too many leaders in the church today who are afraid to be spiritual fathers and mothers out of fear that their student may surpass them. See, here's my thing. I hope that my sons, Josiah and Judah, I hope they go so much further than me. I hope every single one of the youth and every single one of you that I have influence go so much further than I do. Youth, you guys go so much further than me. That is the desire of my heart. See, I had the privilege 2 weeks ago of speaking in Andrew Binkley's church. Most people remember Andrew Binkley in here, right? He's the son of this house. I got to speak in the church where he is a campus pastor. He was one of my youth. I love that guy. I love him like a son, and I can't tell you the joy in my heart as I got to see what God is doing through his life there. I have Chris sitting right here in the green shirt looking good. He was also one of my students that I was able to pastor, and I can't describe the joy I see as he's stepped up now and he's leading the young adults group, as he's helping out with the youth Sunday school. I can't describe the joy that you feel when you see your children rising up. And Chris, this is a season of introduction into God's purposes for your life. He's introducing you into your calling and your purposes. That's what this season is, my friend. I have other youth in here, and they're rising up. They're doing what God has called them. I got Michaela, I got Sam sitting right there. And I got to talk with them the other night, and I got to see what God is doing in their lives. And I couldn't be prouder. I couldn't be more happy. See, as John said, there is so much joy when we come alongside others and we help lead them into what God has for them. We serve them as spiritual fathers and mothers for their benefit. See, the way I've decided to live my life is that if I need to go before, and if I need to carve a path in the jungle to make their way easier, then I'm willing to do so. See, it may take me 6 months to fight through the jungle to just go a few feet, but if I'm willing to pay that price, then everyone that comes after me won't have to fight that same battle. And what took me 6 months to go a few feet, they'll do in 6 seconds. Come on, we're willing to lay down our lives because there's a generation following us, and we are going to do battle to see them come into God's plans and purposes for their life. This is about the kingdom. This is about kingdom impact. It's laying down our lives so the kingdom can rise up. See, I want to take my ceiling as high as possible because then I can pass it on to the next generation and it becomes their floor. We're laying down our lives for a generation that we may never see in this world. If we want to see the kingdom expand and become everything that God said it would be, we need some people who are willing to lay down their lives, that are in this for the long haul, that aren't just looking for the flash in the pan. I need all the glory now. I need the attention. I need the accolades. I need the eyes on me. It's no, I'm willing to get down and clean your feet, because if I clean your feet, then you'll turn around and clean somebody else's feet, and it'll become this whole thing that starts a movement. It's so much bigger than what we can do in ourselves. So I want you to recognize that age doesn't have to be the criteria today. Now, it often is, because spiritual maturity should, and I say should, come with age. But it's not always that way, right? I believe you could have a younger believer who's more mature in their walk that actually comes alongside an older believer who's older in age but younger in their walk with Christ, right? So age isn't the criteria, but we need to answer the question, what is? What is the criteria today? Well, the question I would ask is, are we living this out in our own lives? See, before we can be fathers and mothers to others, we need to first live this out for real in our own lives. If you have biological children today, you'll know this, that children learn more from watching you than they do from listening to you. Right? You can tell the child something a million times, but if you don't do what you're telling them to do and you do the opposite, that one time they're going to see what you did and they're going to grab a hold of it and they're going to run with it. Children learn more from watching than they do by listening. What that means is a good father and a good mother doesn't just tell their kids what to do, they show their kids what to do. Right? Do what I say, not what I do. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It really is. See, there's a question that I've been asked many times as a pastor, and especially as a youth pastor. What can we do to help the next generation? What can we do to help new believers of any age? It's complex, and yet I think it's pretty easy to answer. We need to set an example by living and demonstrating an authentic Christian life, because people are watching our lives. People are watching our lives. The world is watching the church, and what the world is sick of is a church that says one thing and then does another. The world is sick of a church that says one thing and does another. They're looking for people who are pure and true. Children learn more from watching than they do by listening. See, perhaps the greatest need for youth and for new believers is to see those in the church desperately hungry for God. To see them pursuing God with all of their lives, walking in the power that God said is available to us. Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. It's a life verse for me, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. Power. See, if we're content to live in compromise, if we're content to live without seeing the promises of God, if we live for less, then I promise you, they will too. They'll look at our lives and they'll think that this is normal. They won't aspire to go any higher in their walk. If they look at us and if they see a lukewarm group of people, they may actually think that's normal. If they see disunity, if they see compromise and sin, if they see a who cares attitude, then they may just think that's how things are supposed to be. Last night, Sarah and I were driving home. We went to an incredible worship conference in Harrisburg. We're driving home at like 11:30. And she asked me this question. She said, if you could tell your teenage self one thing, what would you tell him? Now, for those that know me a little bit, I grew up in the church. I walked away through all my teenage years and came back when I was 21. And what I told her is I said that a lot of what you hear in the church isn't really the gospel message. What you hear in the church in so many ways is not always the good news of Christ. What you see in the church isn't always what the Bible says we should see. The Bible says one thing and then the church does another, or the church is walking in it, and then we get this confusion in our minds. Well, is this real or is this not real? Follow with me here. Right? What we need people to see in the church is people that are on fire and passionate for God. People that are sold out to God. People walking in love and unity. People living out holiness. People walking in the power of God, in the miraculous, in signs and wonders. Because it gives them something to aspire to. It gives them something to aspire to. See, the Bible is not an academic exercise. The Bible is not a history textbook, because God is not dead. He's fully alive today. Come on, he is alive today. The Bible is actually really quite practical in that if it tells us something, it actually means for it to be a reality in our lives. Let me just give a few examples here. Right? The Bible says we're set free from sin. The Bible says we are free from sin. What that means is it actually means we can walk where we're not in bondage to sin, not conscious of sin, or under the power of sin. And yet you see so many believers who feel like they're just trapped and they can never get totally free. But the Bible says we are free. Right? The Bible says we should lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What that actually means is we should lay hands on the sick and they should recover. And if it's not happening, we don't make excuses and pull back. We simply say, Jesus, I need more of you, and I'm pressing in until I see the promise of your word fulfilled. But the Bible says that we should pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to challenge you here. God told us to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Means if we get serious about this thing and we start living it, we should expect the world to start looking more like heaven. I know that's a challenge for people that think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. God didn't tell us to pray for something he's not willing to answer. The church just needs to rise up and start asking for it and start living in it and start walking in it and not being content to not to. See, if we're truly living this out, if we are walking in it, then we can lead others into it. As we walk with God and as we walk in our God-given inheritance, then we are positioned to lead others into theirs. See, here's the thing. Those 2.5 tribes, they didn't simply point over to the promised land and go, there it is, guys. Good luck with that. Go ahead. No. They got out in front and they led the other Israelites into the promised land. See, it's not enough for us to just point people to the promises of God. It's time for us to actually start living in them. Sister Tara, are you here? All right. If you want to come. See, this is a calling today. I'm calling to this congregation, every person that's sitting here, every person that is part of this church. I'm calling you today to be a father and a mother. Whatever else you want to call it, there's lots of labels. See, we are all family here. Do you know that? We all have the same father. We are family. I want you to recognize this morning that we aren't some random group of people coming into a building together. We are family, and every time we meet in this place, it is a family reunion. Family is foundational to the kingdom. It is foundational to the kingdom. So here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you guys. It needs to begin with prayer. You need to pray for the members of your family here and look for ways to sow into their lives. See, this is well worth your time. It may make you a little uncomfortable if you have to step out and try to sow into somebody else's life. It may take you some of your time up. It may cost you some money if you take them out to lunch or something. But this is well worth your time. See, when you take up the responsibility of being a spiritual father and mother, you can make an impact that lasts long beyond your lifetime. As you impact the next generation, then you will leave an impact and a legacy that lasts far beyond when you're no longer here. You can make a lifetime impact and an impact that goes beyond your life by impacting future generations. Let me give you a concrete example of this and tie this together here. Pastor Waters. And so for those that are new, Pastor Waters was the... I'm going to get through this, I promise. He was the pastor here before Pastor Jason got here. And he's gone on to receive his heavenly inheritance. But he was a father to me. And I can say without a doubt that he has impacted my life more than any other person other than maybe my immediate family. See, that was a man that always had time for me. That was a man who loved me unconditionally. That was a man who was always looking to see how he could help me along in my calling. He was always looking to see how he could help me go further in receiving the inheritance that God had for me. He was selfless, and he gave and he gave and he gave. And I will never forget the hours we spent just sitting and talking as he just poured into my life. Here's what's awesome. On Judgment Day, when he stands before Jesus to give an account for his life, he is going to receive reward for all of the amazing things that he did. But here's what else. He's also going to receive a reward for every single person that I impacted for Christ. Because just like a child carries the DNA of his father and his mother, I carry some of his spiritual DNA. And so every person I impact is also a person that he is impacting. Though he's no longer walking on this earth, his impact is still resounding through the sons and the daughters that he came alongside of. And he put his arm around and he said, I'm walking in my inheritance. Now let me help you get to yours. Pastor Waters was just like those 2.5 tribes of Israel. He was walking in his inheritance. He was doing it well, but he didn't just settle. Rather, he came alongside me and so many others, so many in this church. And he said, let me help you bring you further along in yours. See, my desire is to do the same. That's what I want my life to be all about. It's what I want my life to be about, is impacting people for Jesus, taking a hold of them and bringing them further along into what he has for them. I want to do that for the youth, these amazing youth that I just get to be with week in and week out. They are amazing. You guys are amazing. You are amazing. And I want to do that for anybody else that I can in here, to bring you further along, to bring you further along. But here's the thing, that's true for each and every one of us in some way. We can all be spiritual fathers and mothers to somebody or somebodies. Now, I know this can be a challenge, and I know that sometimes maybe it's hard to relate. Right? If you're going to come along somebody that's in a different generation, you may not understand certain things, hairstyles, the way they dress, their music. Don't feel bad. I'm 36, and neither do I. For real. The skinny jean thing, man, I just don't get that. I never will. I never will. There was hundreds of youth pastors at convention in April, and I was the only one, I think, not wearing skinny jeans. So I don't get it. But here's the thing, they don't seem to care because I simply love them. See, what we're called to do is just offer them unconditional love. It doesn't mean you understand and agree with everything in their lives, but you love them nonetheless. And because you love them and because love does not seek its own, you recognize that this is all about pouring into their lives, pouring out into who they are. It has nothing to do with the way they dress. And you guys know me well enough in here, right? I believe this whole concept of generations, it doesn't exist in the kingdom. Right? Recognize that this morning. There are no baby boomers and millennials and Generation X or Generation Z in the kingdom. No, we are one generation, youngest to oldest, who are fulfilling God's plans and purposes for this world. We are one generation in him. So if you're a little bit older in this room today, here's my message for you. Now is not the time to slow down. Now is not the time to tap those brakes. It's time to pass something on, to come alongside and help others go further in advancing the kingdom. I recently heard a story. It was about a lady by the name of Ruby Eliason. She was a nurse and she was a missionary. And she was a missionary specifically to Cameroon. And she spent her entire life taking care of the sick and the poor, nursing them to health, telling them about God, helping to bring them into their inheritance and destiny. So she's 80 years old, and she decides that she's going to go back over to Cameroon once again. And she's riding in a Range Rover, and the steering just stops working. Steering stops working. They hit a tree. She's instantly killed. She was killed in this accident. And so many people, they would look at that thing and they would respond, well, that's just such a great tragedy. That's such a tragic thing. And yet I believe that's not nearly as tragic as when I go home and turn on the TV and I watch HGTV and see Beachfront Bargain Hunt featuring a couple in their late 50s who are taking early retirement, moving to a Caribbean island with no greater intention than sitting on the beach, drinking cocktails, and riding around in a boat. To me, that's the true tragedy. See, don't misunderstand me today. If you've retired from working, that's awesome. Enjoy that blessing. But don't ever retire from impacting this world and impacting the next generation for Christ. Don't ever retire from impacting others for God's kingdom. You can see one person who gave it all. Gave it all. Think about the impact that she made as the impact of her life just lived on in so many that she came alongside. She'll be remembered for years and years and years to come. And on the other side, you see people who just waste their days away, who will die and the legacy will end right there. My question to you today is, who will you go before and lead into battle? Who will you go before and lead into battle? Who are you going to come alongside of to bring them further along? Whose lives will you impact for the kingdom? See, we have one life to live on this earth. Every day is a gift and every day is precious, but we have one life to live. And so let's make this life count for eternity. Let's make an impact that goes beyond our lifetime by leading others into the calling and the destiny that God has for them. Let's be spiritual fathers and mothers who don't just live for our own gain, but live to bring others into what God has for them. Who will you come alongside? Who will you lead today? Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet today? It is Father's Day. We have an amazing Father in heaven. He loves you. We sang about it this morning. He is a good father. He has love for you that at times can seem reckless because it's so absolutely extravagant. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants to walk with you each and every day. So this is a calling today. If there's anybody in this room today and you don't have a relationship with God, you've never turned to him, you've never received what Jesus has done for you, then you could do that right now. You can come to know your Heavenly Father here on Father's Day. And so I want to give an opportunity for people to respond to that. And so you don't need to bow your heads, you don't need to close your eyes. Salvation is nothing to be ashamed of. What's wrong with the church today that we have people bow their heads and close their eyes when somebody is coming into the greatest thing that could ever happen to them? So here's what we're doing with every single person with their eyes wide open. If you need to know Jesus today, you want to know the Father, we want to celebrate with you. So if you need to know Jesus today and you want to come into a relationship with him, I want you to just go ahead and slip your hand up right now. Just going to give a moment right now.
Praise you,
Father. Thank you, Father. All right, you can go ahead and put your hands down. Thank you, Father. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. All right, the next thing. Is there anybody in here today? You're sick. You're dealing with a disease. You have pain in your body. Anybody, if that's you, just put your hand up high for me. All right, cool. So here's what's really awesome, and this is like youth pastor priority here, and I get to do this. I want all my youth to please come up here to the front. All right, if you need prayer in your body, I want you to come find one of these youth. We've spent 3 weeks now talking about healing and supernatural healing and all of those things in youth, so they are prepared and ready to pray for you and see breakthrough in your body. They are amazing and awesome. So if you need healing right now, if you have any pain in your body, anything, I want you to just start to come forward, grab one of these youth, and they are going to pray over you. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. If there's anybody else, just feel free to come on up. Come on, you don't need a pastor to pray for you today. You need someone who's just on fire for Jesus, because Jesus lives inside of all of us, man. Come on. You are amazing, Father. Who would just say that they're ready to just take up the calling to live for others? Is there anybody here that you just this morning? I just want to pray over you this morning as well. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, we thank you that you are a good Father, perfect in every way. We thank you, Father, that you love us, you care for us, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, right now I pray in this church, you would raise up spiritual fathers and mothers. Right now, Father, that they would just receive of the power of your Spirit. Lord, that we would be a church that's known for laying down our lives to live for the benefit of others. Lord, that we wouldn't be known as a church that just tries to hoard the blessings of God and becomes this bless me club, but we would be known as a church that walks in our inheritance and leads others into theirs. And so, Lord, raise us up. Raise your people up in this church to be fathers and mothers to lead others into their inheritance. We thank you this morning, Father. You are so good in every way. Lord, we bless you this morning. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no greater desire of our heart to know you more, to know you more. And so I bless your people this morning, Father. I pray that you would be with them as they go this week. I pray for God encounters this very week. God encounters, Lord Jesus. I bless them today and I thank you for them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in here. We love you. We love you. We love you. We have a gift for the fathers as you go to leave. They will give that to you in the lobby. Go be a blessing to somebody this week.